Welcome back to NFL Rants and Raves. This is Stephen Minan.
And this is Jeff Ellis, and it is Thursday, May 16th, 2013.
Episode 9.04 of NFL Rants and Raves, presented by Draft Day.
We hope you've been out there and checked them out and all the cool stuff that they do, where you can have daily fantasy sports games for real cash-a-rama. I'm up a little bit.
You are?
Yeah, I'm up a little bit.
I'm up a lot of it.
Well, good for you. DraftDay.com. You guys should go check them out. They're very cool. And yeah, the promo code RANTS.
That's right. We are, Jeffrey, today we are talking about NFL news.
Yes.
OTAs.
Yes. Rookie minicamps.
Well, they're in the rearview mirror. They're gone.
The rookies are gone?
Yeah. Well, they're not gone.
None of them caught on with the team.
That would have been really cool. That
would have been big news. That would have certainly solidified the people who said this was a bad draft class. But it wasn't, okay?
So we got lots to talk about.
We got to pick up where we left off, which is the AFC West.
No, well, I think we're done.
Are we done with our draft review?
I think we're done.
So if your team didn't get draft reviewed, sorry.
And that was mostly everybody in the NFC.
We're moving on, people.
Yeah, it's time to move on.
I didn't know that.
It is.
I didn't get the memo.
I
got an outline.
Did you read your outline?
I read my outline, but it didn't say that we were bailing. It didn't say we were bailing. I thought this was just an outline of stuff that we were going to make sure we talked about so we wouldn't forget.
There you go.
I didn't know it was the end.
Bringing American football to the world, it's Stephen Miranda and Jeff Ellis with NFL Rants and Raves.
I mean, I will say that at the pace we are going, we would have been into preseason games by the time we finished talking about the draft, and that would have become problematic.
That would have.
I'll give you that.
Yes. We did our best to cover the draft.
Ladies and gentlemen, we do our best.
Look.
We're public servants, damn it.
While we were in New York during the draft, we were tweeting and texting our ideas to people.
And booking.
And so you should.
Booking.
Yes, that's right. In that booking. And so if you really wanted to know what we thought about the draft, you should have been, you know, following
us. Just get back on Facebook and go back through our history.
You can do that too.
There you go. So many ways. And we picked up one Facebook follower over the draft and we lost one. So,
yes.
Net loss.
No,
there.
Actually, it was 2-1.
Okay, so we picked up one.
Two, lost one.
Net gain of one.
So net gain of one. Yeah.
Good for us. Bully for us. Do you have a hand clap for us?
I
need to start with applause. I need the enthusiasm, Stephen.
Well, that's not bad. Because you went a little Facebook crazy. I'm not going to lie.
I did.
I'm not going to lie.
I said a lot. I had stuff to say.
And so, you
know. And that means it's going to flood people a little.
For us that we only lost one.
Oh, because of me.
Because of all of that.
Then that's pretty good.
That is great.
Generally, I'm more polarizing than that, is what you're saying.
We have gained a ton of Twitter followers, and it's because on Twitter, they like that you post a lot of stuff, apparently.
And as you know, I don't post on Twitter.
You don't.
You do.
Yes.
So you're giving yourself a backhanded compliment.
It's not
which
a backhanded
is good.
Compliment. It's just a compliment.
But you said that
I brought more followers to Twitter.
So we went from being complimentary to combative and competitive. Yes, like that.
Yes, like that. You're listening to NFL Rants and Raves presented by Draft Day.
I want to say my mom was cooler than your mom, but that's not true.
I
can't. Wow. Okay, I'm going to find something. You just maybe give me the rest of the show and I'll find something.
If you haven't, as Jeff said earlier, if you have not gone out to visit our new sponsor, DraftDay.com, that's the website. It's a new concept of short-term daily fantasy sports games, Jeff, for real money.
And you know what it'll cost you, folks? Absolutely nothing.
That's right. If you head there now, they're offering our NFL Rants and Raves listeners free money, basically.
Free money.
Enter the promo code RANTS when you sign up. They'll give you
free money.
Free money. So you can try the site, play a game or two. I've taken my free money, and I've tripled it.
I've taken my free money and I've tripled it too, but I still think you have more than yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know you were doing that well. I thought you were up $3.
No. No. I must say I wanted
to cash out your $23 at one point though.
No, that was the boy. Jordan. Okay. Jordan joined and he just wanted. I think he started with $5 and he just wanted it immediately.
He wanted his.
He didn't even want to play.
Oh, okay.
He just wanted it. He just wanted his $5.
So they gave him $5 and he wanted to take it.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's not the way it works. You got to at least play a couple times.
But it's cool. What the thing is, I don't play every day.
Yeah.
I play about every other day.
Yeah, me too. That's
isn't that interesting? Yeah. I mean, it's like, and you just kind of go and you set up a game or you join a game that's already in progress.
I've been really good in baseball. I have had five, what they call rapid fire games. Five baseball rapid fire
I like
fire
the rapid
games.
Fire.
I've won 4 out of 5.
And with those games are just about to start and stuff, they just pair up a pitcher, a first baseman, second baseman, third baseman, three outfielders. And you just pick which of the two. And if,
you
get three of the five, if you get three of the five right, you win.
You double your money. Not just win, you double your money.
I know. I'm just saying, it's pretty cool that you win. And it's I like it. And you can do as much or as little analytical work as you want, which is what I like.
So
because I gave it to Jordan the other day.
Yeah.
Yeah, he cost me money. Because he is a fantasy baseball god.
And he lost.
And he lost me money.
Because he took all of his stats. And I just like, today is Darvish or A.J. Burnett?
Oh, I'd go Burnett any day of the week.
Really?
Sure.
They're playing against each other today.
I understand.
I don't know. I like the Texas dude.
Well, of course. Oh, Steven Miranda likes Texas. Wow. Film at 11.
Anyways, DraftDay.com. That's the new sponsor. Head out there. Play some new daily fantasy sports games for real money. It's a lot of fun.
Hugh Darvish is the Texas Rangers pitcher.
Yes.
Okay.
And he's going against whoever they're playing today.
Hugh Darvish is a beast.
Yeah, that's who I'm taking.
Did I say Burnett?
Yes, you did.
Oh, no. Scratch that. My bad. Take Hugh Darvish, dude. His ERA is like 1.15.
And plus the Rangers are hitting the bejesus out of the ball
right
now.
And who are they playing?
They're playing each other.
So. The Rangers are playing each other today?
No, the Rangers
don't
are
think
playing
they are.
Burnett's team. I don't even know who Burnett plays for.
All right, fair enough.
Chicago.
White Sox could be because we just finished with them. But that's how ignorant you can be and still make money. So go out and play. Steven, give us the 30,000-foot look of where we're going today.
A.J. Burnett plays for the Pittsburgh Pirates.
So interleague play, I hate interleague play every day. I don't like
this. Because it's like, remember like when it was like one weekend interleague
play? I know.
And now it's like almost every day.
It is every day because they took the Houston Astros, moved them to the American League West. So now there's 15 teams on each side, which means you cannot have equal
week,
number
yes.
of games every day. So you've got an interleague game. Virtually every day.
Why not? Wait a minute. There's
15
teams
on each side.
And if each
to play each other every day, somewhere you've got team left over on each side, on the American League and the National League.
No, Jeffrey. If you've got 15 teams on each side.
You sit somebody.
15 teams.
Yeah. Playing each other. Playing each other. That's what you're missing. You get me.
No, but if it's interconference, you
have
15 for 15.
Give me, Steven, picture this.
Yes.
American League, National League, 15-15. Yes. America, to keep it all American League and National League, you've got 7 games and a leftover team. 14 teams in 7 games.
If they're all
games.
Within the same conference. If they're all in the American League.
League. Let's talk baseball,
I'm
not
sorry,
football.
Okay, if they're all in the same league.
Right.
But interleague play.
We only have one interleague game. So we have all American League, National League, National League, but we have a leftover, and that is an interleague series.
I thought you just said there were 15 in each
there
league.
There is. So we have 7 American League matchups, 7 National League matchups, and with those 15th teams, because that makes 14, those 15th play each other in an interleague matchup. I'm sorry I'm not being clear enough. I'm sorry,
clear.
Dude. You know I'm trying, and you know I'm not mad at you.
I'm going to say, so American League, there are 15 teams.
Yes. Now,
three
there
divisions
used to be 14.
Of five, right? Three divisions of five. Okay. And the National League.
Same diff.
Three divisions of five.
Right.
So when you have interleague play.
This is not – therein lies the problem. There's one interleague matchup. All the time.
Okay. So what
so
I'm
we have interleague play all year round.
What I'm saying is, why don't you just have it one weekend? Because now that the teams match
up. I would
be
fine with that.
Now that there's 15 and 15.
They can't, schedule-wise, that they can't make that work, apparently.
Why?
Because there's days that they want everybody playing.
And you can because you have 15 teams on one side, 15 teams on the other side.
Okay, that's
you
fine.
You match one
so
and the
you
other.
You just want to do interleague play.
Yeah, for a weekend and be done with it.
Well, then what do you do the rest of the time? when you've got
you
teams that can't
team
play.
You give one team the day off.
You don't have that many days
yes,
off in baseball.
Do.
It's
they
a glorious
play for
grind.
Like 190 games.
162.
Okay, there you go. Plus exhibitions and stuff. It's like 190.
Sure.
At some point over the 365 days of the year, because that's about how long they play their season.
You get 3 days off a month. And as a result, you have days that you need both leagues to be
playing. Schedule more doubleheaders then.
Oh, that kills the box office. It does, and it's all about the almighty
dollar.
I still
am like, just, you know what? Just stop playing so many freaking games for the love of Pete. Please, if you don't know, after 161 games, who the best four teams is in each league, you have a problem. There is a problem, Jeffrey. Because that's what happens every year. At the end of the season, it's like it comes down to the final game, 162nd game of the year. Mm-hmm. Whoever wins this one gets to go to the playoff.
They may have to play 160.
Another one. Yeah, they have to play another one. Because they wind up with the exact same record.
Yep.
One game playoff. That's who gets to go. Seriously? You couldn't tell me that you couldn't figure that out after 80 games?
It is ironic that in the NBA, people generally acknowledge that you don't really try until the last month of the season. But the fact is, baseball is a very different animal, Stephen.
Yeah.
They are trying all the time, and that's one of the things that is appealing about it for many is the grind nature of it, and that it's a marathon. It ain't
Do
no
we
sprint.
Have air on up in
I've
the
got
rave
the
cage.
Air on. I will lower the temperature right. from 69 Whew. Down even more.
The rave, it's just getting hot, baby. We got the pool open at the house. It's good. If y'all, I'm telling y'all, if y'all are listening, you want to come over and jump in the pool, just give me a holler. You can jump in the pool.
He will take you to the Marriott and call the police.
We'll sneak in and we'll jump in the pool there. Lots to talk about, Jeffrey.
I was
Let's
asking
get
for
to
the 30,000-foot overview of where we were going today. And so set us up here. I've got the ball. I've got the tee down, and I'm about to put the ball down. What's it going to look like? What's this par four going to look like?
For
this show,
rest of the
yeah.
show? Well, I gave you an outline.
I was giving you an opportunity to give it for the people who don't
see.
Have the outline in front
yes,
of them, unless you're going to send it to everybody.
I can. If they want it, I will email it. We're
talking
about
the
New York Jets quarterback situation.
It got more clear.
Yeah. Well, more muddy, actually, the way I see it.
Only in the sense that one of the guys that should have won the job is out of it.
Exactly.
Okay, sure. Then it got, but one of the guys isn't in it anymore.
We have a Baltimore Ravens linebacker who, out of the blue, decided to retire.
A very young man
yes.
for retiring. I mean, there's no way to cut this. If you're retiring at 23,
yeah, there's a problem.
There's something up there because most of us consider early retirement to be 60,
55, I thought
58,
was early retirement. Yeah.
That's early retirement. Not half that.
Here's some interesting news that brings Favre back into the spotlight.
Brett Favre?
Brett Favre, yes. The Green Bay Packers
can,
are looking to.
Can we get a Favre alert? Rich Eisen on his.
Yeah, I don't think
Favre
we've got
alert.
The Favre alert. But, Packers are looking to reunite with Brett Favre. We'll talk about that. The Buffalo Bills have a new GM after, 3 days after their old GM stepped down.
And the Oakland Raiders don't have a president.
CEO, Chief Executive Officer Amy Trask. We'll discuss that. And we'll talk a little bit about the Eagles QB situation and what's going on there.
Anything else? Whatever comes up.
If something else pops up, we'll talk about
Whatever comes up. So we want to thank you for listening and enjoy the program.
All right, here we go. Let's start with the New York Jets.
The one thing I knew for certain.
Yes.
I don't know anymore.
Well, there you go. David Garrard informed.
And I meant this about the New York Jets quarterback situation. I didn't mean this life in general.
David Garrard informed the New York Jets that he was going to retire because his knees weren't holding up.
That is hugely disappointing on multiple levels.
So the team that just a few weeks ago had six quarterbacks on their roster.
Right.
Now it's down to four.
And then there were four. Now, Stephen, what chance did you give a healthy David Garrard of being the starting quarterback there in New York?
I gave him a 75% chance.
Me too, Stephen. Yeah. We have not talked about this at all.
No, we have not.
And I thought a healthy David Garrard could be the answer to a world of problems.
At least be a stopgap for a year or two.
Yes. Until next year's NFL draft class when we finally.
Or Geno Smith, you know, picked it up.
Sure. Sure. Got enough experience under his belt and things like that. So.
Now that's gone.
And to David's credit, I appreciate guys, Steven, that literally leave it all on the field. They do everything humanly possible to play the game as long as they can play, as long as there's even hope of them playing, and follow your dreams. And I believe that people should follow their dreams until it's really not logistically possible anymore. And David, unfortunately, has reached the end of that period. And for his wife to stand by his side as long as she has, being patient and through all the rehabilitations he's been through, the multiple knees, and all the city changes from Jacksonville to Miami, now to New York. She's been a very patient woman. Yes. It's been a very generous woman. And to David, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Because, dude, I thought you were a hell of a player when you were in your prime. And I thought that you were showing the door a little prematurely there in Jacksonville. And I think that the Jaguars would have been a better team had he stayed.
So here are the four quarterbacks left remaining on the New York Jets roster. You have Mark Sanchez.
I've seen him.
In his fifth year from USC.
From the University of Southern California.
You have third-year man Greg McElroy from Alabama. You have second-year man Matt Sims from Tennessee. And rookie Geno Smith from West Virginia.
All right.
That's where you're at.
Welcome to the hot seat. Ba-da-bum-bum-bum.
You still don't have the music?
I still haven't figured out how to wire my iPad.
You know what? Get your iPad mini to play ball or get back to your iPad. Oh, I sold that for you. Never mind. All right.
Did the check clear? I don't know if I put it in a pants pocket and then left it.
No, it has not gone through yet.
Really?
Yes, really, I'm serious.
So it is in pants pocket somewhere, and my cash flow situation doesn't need to be as dire as it is.
All I know is
I'm going through my pants.
Why does it take you so long?
I put it in my pants pocket. Don't give me stuff.
Cash a check.
Don't give me stuff.
So I don't give you stuff.
Because then I put it in my pocket.
I wanted to keep the money.
Tell me to put it in my wallet, check. Don't let me put it in my pocket.
Did you cash the check I gave you for Mother's Day?
No, but that's in a pile that's ready to be deposited this afternoon. The fact is, Steven, basically I think I lost it. The other check.
I only write one check.
Yeah.
And then I give it 60 days to clear, and if it doesn't clear, I tell the bank don't honor it.
Stop payment.
Yeah.
I'm saying.
So you got another probably 45 days.
To go through my pants pockets.
To find
and
that.
And find that's been washed and it's all crumpled and useless. That's never happened to you.
Never. Not okay. With a check.
Oh, by the way, while we're.
It's happened to me with like notes and stuff. Mm-hmm.
While we're going down this road of useless. Yeah. Steven Miranda is wrong, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, my God.
Wrong.
What am I wrong about?
How many times has that happened? Not many.
Yes.
But you are wrong here.
What was I wrong about?
The word panties.
I was not wrong. I got so many emails from people saying Jeff just needs to get a grip.
Okay.
I will show you those emails if you'd like to see them.
I have a Jimmy Stewart movie I saw where the word panties was not permitted to be said in court because of the connotations that go along with it, and the judge would not have the gallery there in the courtroom giggling.
Okay, people would giggle when they said panties? Those people needed to grow up.
This was a major, major film. And it was a film based on a play, which meant it wasn't just written once to be put on a screen. It was performed for years, then it was made into a movie. And Jimmy Stewart started, who's he's a pretty major actor, Steven.
What was the movie?
I mean, I don't remember the title. I was going to...
Hold on one second. Time out. If you can't remember the title of a movie,
fine.
You can't come in here and say I was wrong because a movie that you don't even know the title of said you can't use the word panties.
Lawyer movies. he's a movie. How many? Anatomy of a Murder. Boom. Booyah. Anatomy
Are
of a Murder.
Are you sure that's the one?
Of course.
Because he was a lawyer in a lot of movies.
Anatomy of a Murder.
Okay.
Okay. Okay, I'm going to go one more and say I'm going to actually now put the word panties in here.
Yeah.
Jimmy Stewart in panties. 37. There's some creepy stuff out here.
I Googled panties, and I got panties and sexy woman's underwear at Victoria's Secret. Panties at herroom.com. I'm clicking on that.
There's creepy stuff out here on the internet. I'm a little troubled. I think the internet's bad, Steven. I think the government needs to ban it.
Can we get back to the four quarterbacks that the Jets have on their roster?
Not until you acknowledge.
Although I'm going to buy some of those panties for my wife. That's all I'm saying.
Intercourse, contraceptive.
What?
Spermatogenous. Okay, see, sexual climax.
Wait a
panties.
Minute.
These were not the words movie theater audiences were used to hearing on the screen in 1959.
Give me that date one more time.
1959.
50! Nine! I wasn't even born yet.
I almost was.
Okay. So that is a different time, a different era. Okay, when people say that was an era, that was an era. We do not live in that era anymore. We do not live in the era where people...
Jim Crow laws. we don't live in that era.
Where people say panties. Like, ooh, did he say panties? I cannot believe it. We don't live in that era anymore,
so
dog.
Once an era ends, it's over forever, and nothing goes forward.
What do you mean nothing goes forward?
Once an era ends, whatever was taboo is completely
it's not taboo.
Legit.
It hasn't been taboo. I would say panties hasn't been taboo since 69.
You're making this up because you never thought it was. Now you're pulling an arbitrary year out to say
69, when I was born, is what I'm saying. Since I've been born, it's never been taboo.
I'm not saying it's a taboo word. I'm saying it's a word that has sexual overtones.
Okay. Since I was born, I've never associated panties with having sex.
I got emails that said that they agree with me. You got emails that said they agree with you.
Well, there you go. So that doesn't make
me wrong. It's
entirely
possible.
That doesn't make me wrong. It's my opinion. You have your
opinion.
This
is from Turner Classic
Movies.
That
doesn't make anybody wrong.
This is not a scandal.
All right, so go back to the ping, 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 ping. Steven's not wrong. Steven just has an opinion that differs from you.
That's true, too.
There you go.
That's true, too.
Can we now get back to Geno Smith?
Strongly
Mark
recommend
Sanchez.
Anatomy of a Murder. If you want to see a movie that really, I mean, you
I
will not
even
be comfortable. I'm just saying, great murder mystery.
Yes.
And but boy, was
probably
it ahead of its time.
Not as good as Into Darkness last night. Star Trek sneak preview. Saw it before anybody. That was pretty cool. You need to go see it as soon as it hits theaters tomorrow.
Well, here lies my problem. I haven't seen Iron Man 3 because somebody won't let me.
What?
Somebody won't let me, Steve Miranda.
How do I not let you go see Iron Man 3?
I wanted to see it last Sunday. You made me watch Gatsby.
Oh, I made you watch Gatsby.
You did.
It didn't matter that there was a party of nine and six.
Four. Four.
Six out of the nine.
I can't help
it
that you take your children to things
six
the second
out of the
it
nine
comes out.
Had already seen it.
Can I help it that you take your children to see things the second it comes out? Is that on me?
Your mother had already seen it.
My mother had not seen it.
She went with me.
Okay, she sat next to you.
Yes.
That means she probably went with you. She was sitting next to you.
Jordan had seen it. My wife had seen it, and my kids had seen it. So six out of the nine. The only ones who had not seen it, you, your wife, and Kara.
But you'll acknowledge that of the female population, it was the same percentage. Well, because it was Mother's Day.
It was Mother's Day.
And of the mother population,
Day, yes.
It was the same percentage.
I think
it
you're
was the
saying
same
that
percentage.
I didn't let you. I just think the mothers preferred to go see Gatsby instead of Iron Man 3.
I think knowing what we knew about Gatsby at the time, Iron Man 3 was a safer bet. In the end, what we had was a movie that everybody loved.
Yes. Yes.
My mom, your youngest, and everybody in between.
Yes.
Loved the movie.
Yes.
That's crazy sauce.
Yeah, did you hear Emma's quote after the movie?
Yes.
Yes.
She found a certain part of it shocking.
Yes.
We're not going to play
words,
spoiler. We're not going to play
not,
spoiler.
Her exact words were, "I didn't see that coming."
Didn't see that coming. 6-year-old.
Like, where did she get that from?
Well, you know, she really doesn't empathize with the character much because I don't think he saw it coming either.
Yeah, exactly.
Actually, I do think he saw it coming. I think he had. Do you think he knew?
No.
That he was in trouble?
No.
He thought he was clean.
Yes.
Interesting. Okay. we can't play spoiler alerts. So we'll have this conversation later, and let's
Matt
get back
Sims,
to
so Mark Matt Sims, Mark Sanchez, Greg McElroy,
well,
and
now,
Geno Smith.
Here's the thing: for all the people at the end of last season that said the one thing you can count on is Sanchez will be the quarterback next year because of financial reasons, if not any other.
Yeah,
those people are looking a little smarter now.
No.
So you're saying Mark Sanchez. Now here, let's go to
Geno Smith
let's
time.
Go to Woody. Let's
stop. Geno Smith time. That's it. Mark Sanchez, sit down. I'm gonna pay you $8 million to hold the clipboard, and then at the end of that season, when I don't know you anything anymore, you're out. It's Geno Smith time.
Stop. Woody Johnson said, "We are going to have a true quarterback competition." In the truest sense of the word competition.
Yes, that is true.
That is what he said yesterday.
But.
And Woody the man.
He is the man. But Marty Mornwig, who runs the offense, the offensive coordinator, is already leaning towards Geno. And he says, I want the quarterback, who is going to be the quarterback for the Jets, to rise to the top and do it quickly.
Exactly.
And he's already leaning towards Geno.
And again, taking that with what Woody said yesterday, he said the starting quarterback will determine himself.
Well, that's true.
He will rise to the top, and he will show himself, and it could be any of these gentlemen.
I'll give you Mornwig's actual words so that people don't say, oh, Steven,
okay, while you're doing that, Steven, I want to remind people that Rex Ryan said – that Mark Sanchez would take the first snap of OTAs.
The quarterback in this competition will rise above and beyond any other, and I hope that that's quick.
Rise like an eagle.
He wants it done now. He wants to know. He wants to go the next time that they have OTAs. He wants to know going into that who his starting quarterback's going to be. Because, look, it's going to be a different offense if you got Geno Smith under center or if you got Mark Sanchez under center.
Radically different.
Right? So you need to know now, today, and not in August when training camp start.
They just sent Tebow. Wait, they already did that. Never mind.
So there you go. Speaking of Tebow.
Tebow.
Whoa.
Tebow.
Tebow
got nowhere to go.
I think he is done in the NFL, Jeff.
Okay, now what do you say to those scandal-hopping fanatics out there that say
that
blackballed.
Something happened.
He's
in
been
Benghazi,
blackballed.
That it was
He's
the
been
president's
blackballed.
Fault. Oh, I'm sorry.
It is President Obama's fault. Those people don't realize that it's not Benghazi. It's not the Associated Press.
Will
it's not the IRS.
Already?
It is Tim Tebow, and you know why? It's because he's white. That's why he's being kept out of the National Football League. It's a racist
Will you stop with the conspiracy theories already?
No, but there are people that are saying on a serious note that he is being blackballed in some form by the NFL.
No, he isn't.
Now, these same people are the ones who play the broken record that says, all he does is win. All he does is win.
Right.
All he does is win. Yes. Yep, he's a really bad quarterback. All he does is win. All he does is win. So it's those people that are going and keeping this conspiracy or even making this conspiracy out of nowhere.
Tim Tebow is not in the NFL.
He's not a very good quarterback.
He chose the Jets over the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Bad choice.
That was his number one biggest mistake. And now I'm hearing tunes that it was his brother who forced him to the Jets. His brother's the one who helps him make a lot of his
get better advisors, dude,
decisions and stuff like that. And he said, you can make a lot more money if you go to the Jets and go to the Jacksonville Jaguars. If you cared about playing football, you would have gone to the Jacksonville Jaguars because you would be starting right now if you were in Jacksonville. Because by game three, they were so bad. Seriously, after game two, Blaine Gabbert had that 2.8 passer rating.
1.78.
Whatever it was, it was so awful.
I forgot.
Tim Tebow would have been the starter after that.
With a quarterback rating of 9. Hello.
But
that's
it
like
would,
8 times.
But he would have won because he finds a way to win. Jacksonville has moved on. Nobody wants you.
New general manager, new head coach, and the same owner who listens to those guys, to his credit, and says, I ain't having him with the 10-foot pole. Sorry.
He's done in the NFL.
Wow.
Now, there are some reports that the USFL has come calling. Maybe he'll find a place there.
Tim. You are turning into a circus freak show, and that's too bad.
I don't even want to go to that circus.
Circus Vargas, Circus Vargas.
Circus Vargas.
Are you old enough to remember Circus Vargas?
I do. I
had to teach Jordan what it was.
I attended several.
I told Jordan it was the Poor Boy's Ringling Brothers.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was.
The animals, some of them didn't have four legs.
It cost me $2 to go.
Not
Ringling
all the
Brothers, I couldn't afford to go.
Well,
to.
And the Ringling Brothers was a three-ring circus. This was a single-ring circus.
Yes, yes.
And as I said, not
but
all the animals had all their limbs.
For a quarter, I got to ride the elephant, and that was probably
highlight.
The highlight for me to. I'm going to go to. I'm gonna get an elephant.
Highlight
and
of
he's
your
gonna,
life to this point.
Well, okay, that's true.
If we had a top 10 list of Steven Miranda lifetime highlights,
yes.
Where does
riding
the elephant,
the
come
elephant
in?
Would have been
no today?
Oh, today
to this day,
top 25.
So you have to get outside of the top 10.
Yes, you do.
Now, can you mention the number one?
The number how, one.
Tell me the highest you can mention highlight of Steven Miranda's life, respecting privacy. Unlike the Associated Press.
Well, no, there are probably 5 or 6 things in the top 10 that I probably couldn't tell you are a highlight. I might be able to tell you off air in private.
Okay.
As long as you promise to take it to your grave.
Yeah. I've got a vault.
I think you know one of them.
I've got
already.
A vault.
but I know top the my top thing was is definitely getting married in San Clemente on a beach cliff. That was awesome.
So it didn't matter whom you were marrying.
No, or my wife.
Or the person who performed the ceremony.
Yeah, the person who performed the ceremony who forgot to officially marry us at the end. Yeah, that had nothing to do with it.
I officially forget to marry? Because all that's required to marry someone is to sign a piece of paper.
Which, as it turns out, we just found it. We never signed it.
I signed it, though. I signed it.
Did you?
Yes.
I didn't see your name on it.
Look, I'm big on the legal details of things, okay?
Yeah, no, I think we're good.
I didn't pronounce
no,
your man
that,
wife.
That, just that whole, just seeing Trisha come down the aisle the whole day, the experience.
So it is important that it includes my sister.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, I'm just checking.
Yeah.
So it wasn't a guy getting married on a beach.
No. My seeing my wife come down the aisle. Because I hadn't seen the dress. I didn't even know what a dress looked like.
You're not supposed to.
That's
what some people say.
I wanted to see it.
See, and some people say the panties is a provocative word. But some people are wrong.
Yes.
Some people are wrong, Steve would point out.
Yes.
So you think, but this is a guy who opens presents before it's time. So, of course,
who
you're going to think that about the wedding.
Before it's time.
When did Trisha get a Mother's Day present? Just saying. Okay, I rest my case
she
here.
She needed to enjoy it.
I rest my case. These are presents that are given frequently. In a logical fashion,
yes.
But outside the confines of the date for which the occasion is being celebrated.
Right.
So that being said, for you to want to see the dress ahead of time, it fits.
Yes.
But there are many traditionalists that say that it's unlucky.
There was nothing traditional about our wedding.
It's supposed to be unlucky. There's nothing traditional.
That's what I said.
Yeah, I heard untraditional.
Oh. There was nothing traditional.
It is tradition that the groom and bride don't see each other on the wedding day.
We didn't.
I did.
They kept us in a freaking.
I think that's moronic.
Separate hotels.
I'm gonna ask you this question, Steven.
That was, I think, probably the only traditional thing that we had.
Who is your best friend?
Who was my best friend?
Yeah.
Mondo.
No, in the entire world.
Oh, in the entire world?
Yeah.
My wife, Trisha.
Okay. Wouldn't it have been good to see your best friend on the most important day of your life?
Yes.
See, that's my thing. Dee Dee and I, we hung out that morning a little bit.
Oh, we did.
We're like, wow, this is a big deal. Wow, yeah, this really is. I want to be with my best friend on the most important day of my life.
I played flag football that morning. I don't think I ever told Trisha. Because I came all the way back home to sleep in the house that across from you.
Wow.
By myself. Everybody was back at the hotel.
Yeah.
And I came back because my brother, my best man, who was supposed to be hanging out with me, had issues with his significant other that night. And so he couldn't hang out with me.
Right. Let's be clear.
That's right.
David.
His former significant other. And so he couldn't hang out with me.
There's a reason she's not your friend anymore.
So I was alone.
There's a reason she's not your friend.
And so I woke up the next morning at 6, all anxious, and I'm like, We had a flag football game at 9. I didn't have to be down to San Clemente till 1 o'clock. I said, screw it. I'm playing flag football.
You got some explaining to do when Trisha hears
I
this.
Know.
All right.
You did what?
Exactly. Hey, that's a billion years ago. We're getting back to football here. So, Steven, the New York Jets quarterback situation, you believe Sanchez will start as the backup. I don't believe Geno Smith's ready to be a starter. Apparently, we will find out.
I think this right here, I'm going to play this clip to you of a well-respected wide receiver who plays in the National Football League today. And that's wide receiver Steve Smith of the Carolina Panthers. He was co-hosting a show called The Drive on WFNZ 610 AM in Charlotte. And here, listen to what he says here.
Mark Sanchez
he
after,
sucks.
After mm-hmm.
I wouldn't let Mark
no,
Sanchez throw me a paper bag
I
sandwich.
You want to hear that again?
Yes, because right. I swore he said he sucks.
He does. He does. Listen
but
closely.
But then he says something worse.
Mark Sanchez
he
after,
sucks.
After mm-hmm.
I wouldn't let Mark
no,
Sanchez throw me a paper bag
I
sandwich.
I wouldn't let Mark Sanchez throw
me
a paper bag sandwich.
I agree, the dude says.
What's a paper bag sandwich?
I don't know. I guess it's a sandwich that
do I have
you
to live in the South? I don't want to
in a paper bag and you throw the paper bag to someone. You know, hey, you never took a paper bag lunch to
school? Of course
I
did.
Okay. And you
I didn't bring a lunch pail
you
once
never,
I
like,
was in high school.
You never
school.
Take the paper, the brown My, bag and you take the top and then you toss it. Like
I
that.
Never. Oh, Steven's thinking of making a Molotov cocktail out of a paper bag by spitting the top. Yeah. I folded the top of mine.
Oh, and you walked it like this, look at like a little
Hell
princess.
Hell yes, like a little princess.
What
I
you,
didn't hold it with
two
fingers.
What you can't see, people, is that I'm holding
he's
my
doing the princess
little
dance.
Princess hands. With it. Did you wrap both hands on the little
no,
sandwich?
No, I didn't. It
just
wasn't,
one.
It wasn't
just
a
one.
Woman's clutch purse, okay? It was my lunch. So it would have been fisted.
Okay. And when
but
you
the
fist
top
you,
was,
you crunch
the
top. The
top was folded down.
Yeah, but then what you do is
you
take that top.
I don't open
down,
it then and then
it up,
turn
and then
it into
it,
a little.
And then you could toss it to someone. It's like, yo, toss me a sandwich. And you toss them a sandwich across the cafeteria. You never did that?
Oh, I threw stuff in the cafeteria. Don't get me wrong. I started
just
my share of
just never in your
fights.
Paper bag.
What's in that bag is mine.
I see.
Maybe I'm a mine kind of guy, Steven.
Let's just hear Steve Smith one more time.
Mark Sanchez
he
after,
sucks.
After
I
years.
Wouldn't let Mark
no,
Sanchez throw me a paper bag
I
sandwich.
Throw me a paper bag sandwich.
But here's my question to Steve Smith. Dude, you've never
how
played
you
with a guy.
How do you know?
He's never thrown you a football ever, as far as I know.
Oh, Thursday draft day special. Thursday super qualifier. This is breaking news. 10 draft day players have already secured $1,000 prizes and a shot at taking home $50,000 this playing weekly. I like these little teaser games, Steven.
Are you talking this draftday.com?
Yeah. Just got an email.
Ooh,
sorry.
I want in.
Okay, so got it. Gonna go political here for just a second, and then we'll get back to Steve Smith.
Why? Because he said
I woke
he
up to this. Oh, I woke up to this thought
okay.
this morning.
What was the thought?
Well, because the lottery didn't hit last night.
It didn't.
I asked Jordan to give me one lottery number. He said 14. That was not one of the. He would have lost as well had he played.
Okay.
The people at Channel 9, they would have. They won $2 to split 27 ways.
Nice. Nice.
So
I
this hang
won
on
a dollar.
Hang on. Oh,
so
did you play?
I played $1, and I won my dollar back, and now
okay.
I get to go buy another
now,
ticket.
They're saying this Saturday's drawing is going to be $470 million, $475.
Almost half a
– I'm saying it's going to be – because now I'm interested.
Yeah.
It's going to hit a half a billion
It'll
dollars.
It'll be a half a billion, yes.
Half a billion dollars. Steven is so changed, Jeff Ellis. Why not play?
Why not throw a dollar into
Why
that?
Not throw a dollar in? So that being said – I woke up this morning now as a lottery player with this horrible thought that does explain, I think, wealth distribution, to get political for a second.
Yes.
What if everybody who won major lottery jackpots had to share it with everybody else? Nobody would play. It would die.
Yeah.
That's how I feel.
Well,
and what did they do to win their half billion dollars? They spent a dollar,
but they do share. I mean, if you win $500 million, a half a billion dollars.
You're giving a lot of it to the government.
You're giving 48% of it. You're
right.
getting. You're
yeah,
giving,
but that's not enough. You're still ending up with a heck of a lot more money than 99% of the people in America have.
Yeah.
So shouldn't you share that with everybody else? And if you did, what would be
I
the consequences?
I just did. I gave you half.
They want more.
I gave you half.
They want more. Now, do I think that the rich people should be paying their fair share? Of course I do.
Yes.
I'm not an idiot. What that means is close tax loopholes, do things like that. But
yeah,
that's the only time I
disagree with you, because I am taking that $500 million that I'm winning, and I'm giving half, almost half of
you
it,
are.
48%.
And how many
right
really rich people are giving half of their actual take?
Not many.
Not many. You're right. And that needs to change.
Right.
That needs to change. But wouldn't it kill the entire idea of a lottery and you only paid a dollar to win all that money
right.
in the first place,
yes.
where some of those people have worked – will we admit that they worked kind of hard?
Yeah.
To get their billions?
Yes.
Okay. So that's – it was just – I woke with that thought, which surprised me. I've never
yes.
had that thought before.
Interesting.
The best way to kill the golden goose that lays the golden eggs
yeah.
is to go and have to share with everybody. That's kind of not fair. It's uninspiring.
I'm not sharing
it's demotivating.
My golden goose. By the way.
And if I win $500 million on
yes.
Saturday,
uh-huh.
which means $250 million.
Share it with me? I'm not asking you to share it with the whole rest of the world. Just would you share it with me?
What about the rest of your family?
You shared it with me. Whatever I get the share, I would distribute.
No, there'd be a lot of strings attached. I certainly really? Wouldn't want Emma to touch any of it.
Emma could.
I don't
have
trust it, her. I don't trust her. Elena, sure. She makes good choices.
She does. Emma would roll up with a freaking brand new 2014 Corvette Stingray rolling convertible
no, that's you
top.
And it's red.
That is me. By the way.
She would though.
Have you seen the new Stingray?
No.
Oh my
okay,
god.
So I want to thank people for lending me this political moment.
Yes.
Let's get back to does Mark Sanchez suck? According to
yes.
Steve Smith, I don't think he sucks.
Probably
he
Mark
hasn't
Sanchez
been very good.
He sucks.
he sucks. I want to be a radio
I'm
guy that could just say that.
I'm going to take that audio.
I'm going to move to Charlotte just so I can join their show.
I'm going to take that audio and I'm just going to clip out. He sucks.
He sucks.
And just whenever someone does something
Steve
bad
Smith.
On the show.
He sucks.
He sucks.
Okay, a paper bag sandwich. We don't know
only
what that
Mark
is.
Sanchez
he
after
sucks.
All right. Appreciate you doing the extra work to get the audio, Steven.
I'm telling you, man, I worked hard in preparing for the show because apparently we were told that we don't prepare. So I was going to prepare today.
I prepared today by looking at the AFC West draft picks. But that's okay. Like a lot of the important homework you do in life, you may never use it.
You may never use it, yes.
But that doesn't mean
I'm sorry. I thought we had pretty much said at the end of the last show that we were
really?
Done.
Really?
Yeah,
really.
Really?
You
want to
play that back for me?
I will. I'll go pull it out.
I would love to know if I did say that.
I think I might have said it and you agreed.
If Mark Sanchez throws me a paper bag sandwich,
yes.
here's the problem with to Steve's defense.
Yes.
Mark Sanchez grew up in the same town I grew up in.
Yes.
We have a lot of pools.
Right.
If he's throwing me a paper bag sandwich, what's the chance of it landing in a pool? I say it's 50-50 that it's going to land in a pool. Do I want that sandwich anymore once it's been in the pool?
No.
No way!
No.
Have you ever eaten a wet sandwich?
No, ooh, I do not. The minute I see that the bread
moisture,
is
moisture
out.
Moisture.
Get the I will send a sandwich back. If someone brings me a sandwich and the bread
moisture.
Is wet.
It's horrible.
Yes.
It's wrong. Okay. Moving on to the Baltimore Ravens, your Super Bowl champion, Baltimore Ravens. They went and did a little shopping in the offseason.
Linebacker Rolando McClain.
They did some shopping, right, Steven?
They did.
They decided, you know what? We've got a problem.
We need linebackers.
We've got a guy that was really good, Hall of Famer, that's going to no longer be with us. And so what are we going to do? I have a football in my hand, so Steven feels left out because he doesn't have a football in his hands.
I don't want this one.
You can't talk this with Patriots football. I'm holding Houston Texas. Oh, he's got the real thing, the Duke. He's got the Duke, ladies and gentlemen. With new air in the balls, thanks, Steven, for filling our balls with air.
Yes, all the balls are filled there.
All right.
Rolando McClain,
Oakland Raider.
He had some problems with the law in Oakland.
Well, he's – and by the way, he's what, 65 now years old?
Yes.
I mean, he's due to retire.
No, he's 23.
Oh, that's not due to retire age at all.
And he signed with the Ravens on April 12th. And 10 days after signing with the Ravens, he was arrested in Decatur, Alabama, and charged with disorderly conduct and resisting arrest.
What was the disorderly conduct?
He kept, like...
He failed to give his name to the police.
No. That was something different. That was in 2011. That was in 2011 when he lied about his identity.
He didn't lie about his identity. I am so sick of that charge.
Well,
you can't... If the police ask you for your name...
You're lying about your identity.
And you say, George effing Washington.
Yeah.
You literally say, George effing Washington.
That is a lie.
That is saying I'm being uncooperative with law enforcement.
But once again, the... charges lying about your identity.
I like charges to fit the crime, Stephen. And a lie only a lie if the person who's saying it has the intention of deceiving.
I see.
Did he have the intention of deceiving or the intention of annoying?
Both.
He was not cooperating with law enforcement, right, which is a charge in
that
of itself.
That was back in 2011.
I'm on his side on that one, because if you say George effing Washington, you're obviously not lying.
Right. That was back in 2011. This one, disorderly conduct and resisting arrest, this was the one where he was, like, inciting the crowd to...
Oh, that was F the cops, F the popo.
He decided...
We're going to need you to stop that, sir. F the popo.
He decided, he spoke with Ravens GM Ozzie Newsome yesterday and decided that... It was time for him to retire from the NFL.
Can you imagine the conversation between Ozzie and Rolando? Ozzie is one of the true good guys of the NFL.
Yes.
One of the classiest gentlemen in the NFL. Ozzie Newsome, nobody questions his integrity. Nobody questions his competence. For him to have an intelligent conversation with this clown. Yes, we're back to Circus Vargas. Rolando McClain, you're a clown.
Freaking idiot.
You are a clown, sir. And for Ozzie to even have to entertain this conversation, Rolando, I need you to go away and never, ever come back.
Yeah.
I can't have people saying F the cops. I can't have people saying that their names, and I don't know what name he gave them, but it was an absurd name. It was like George F. E. Washington. I can't have people that are basically lacking the most essential human qualities to make yourself an adult.
I'm not going to lie. If the police officer ever asked me what my name is, I might say Abraham Lincoln. I might.
Vampire Slayer.
And I'll add it just
Hunter,
like that.
Vampire too. Hunter.
Vampire Hunter, yes. Yes. What is your name? I am Abraham Lincoln, the Vampire Hunter.
And the cop would laugh. They wouldn't say you're a liar.
Are you lying to me?
No, sir, I think you're lying. I'm going to accuse you of liar, pants on fire, hang
you
your britches
pants on
a telephone wire.
Because as we discussed in the last show,
pants is sexual.
Your pants don't actually get on fire. And it would be so much cooler if it actually did happen.
You know, unless the difference between the word pant and panties is just an IES.
Yeah.
One's titillating, one's downright dull.
You know what? I'm starting to get a sense.
Wait.
And maybe this is, maybe this is my fault. It's taken almost 17 years for me to come to the sense. But
that would be the amount of time that Steven knows me.
And my wife and your family. That maybe Ellis's just don't give things up easily.
Oh, my God. It's taking you that long to realize that if there's a dead horse, I want to beat it? How dumb are you?
Just drop it, man.
How dumb are you?
Let it die.
You see that horse?
I've been trying to maybe just.
Steven, you see that dead horse over there in the
yes.
corner? Get me a bigger stick. Get me a bigger stick.
Let it go.
I actually, Steven, came up with a little flashlight. What do you call it when you do the little shadow?
The animals. Yeah, shadow puppet.
Shadow puppet. I did a shadow puppet of a horse and a baseball bat. This was when I was in graduate school. I had one class where there was a few students
right.
that just wouldn't let it go.
Yes.
You're literally beating a dead horse.
Yes.
And I had a friend behind me with the flashlight. I would put it on the wall, and I had my little horse on a stick. And I tip the horse over, and I take the bat, and I start hitting the horse with the bat, and it goes on the wall. Whole class busts up laughing. Can you imagine having somebody with the courage or entertainment skills to do that in graduate school?
Yeah.
That's, can we please? There's only 20 of us in the class. Can we please? You're beating a dead horse. It is time to move on.
Yeah, it is. You guys just don't let stuff go.
Bigger stick, please.
You know how I wound up surprising Trisha with the fire pit?
3 days before Mother's Day? Go ahead.
Yes. Because that's all she had been talking about for like a month.
Well, that's a good way to get a hint in. Right. And what does Jordan want for his birthday?
What
does Jordan want for his birthday?
What does he want? I haven't talked to him in a while. What does he want?
You had lunch with him once. And given that he's talking about it nonstop, what does Jordan want for his birthday?
What was he talking about? I'm trying to remember.
What does he want?
Oh, yeah, I know what he wants for
Thank
his birthday.
You!
He wants tickets to the Cowboys-Chargers game.
Thank you!
San Diego.
Thank yes. you!
Yes.
Why do I know this? Because that's all he talks awesome. About. Dude, now back to your wife.
We got it. We got to get it.
We got to hook him up, but it's going to be expensive. Go ahead. Now, how to?
But
Trisha.
That's my wife. So, so after about a month of just hearing
fire pit, I got a beautiful pool. Friday, I'm not having a fire pit.
Friday morning, the Friday before Mother's Day, we had kind of a little disagreement about it in the morning.
Oh, it was a makeup.
I was just kind of like, no, because
you wanted sex that weekend, and you weren't going to get it if you didn't cough up a fire pit.
No, the deal was, look, I already had the fire pit. It was in the shed.
It was in the shed.
And,
which I
but
you
that
build
morning,
to get credit. That's fine.
But in the morning,
I'm
the
not
Friday
letting it go.
Before, no, you're not letting it go. She's going to work, and she says something about the fire pit, and I was
hate
just finally
you.
Like, just stop it. Enough of the fire pit. I don't want to hear any more about the fire pit.
It was an FU.
Now,
it was a shut
you,
up, wasn't it?
Mind you, I already had the fire pit.
I know, but it was an FU. It was a shut up, wasn't it?
What do you mean?
You're producing the fire pit prematurely was a way of shutting her up and saying, see, see?
No, I did want her to enjoy it all weekend long. If I gave it to her on Sunday.
The
she
hottest
enjoyed
weekend
it.
We've had
she would have
in
only enjoyed it Sunday
years.
Night. If I gave it to her Friday, then that night, Friday night, we were able to sit by, enjoy it, turn it on.
Kind of far away.
Yes.
The hottest
and
weekend we've had in several years.
Friday was pretty nice and cool that night. But Saturday night and Sunday night. Like Sunday night for Mother's Day was unbearable to turn it on. When we were doing those marshmallows things, we were doing those marshmallow s'mores, and I was like,
s'mores, s'mores. There's no H.
I want to put an H in there. There's s'mores. So
wow,
we were making the s'mores, and
can I have some s'mores?
Because I want s'more of it, please.
Dope.
Anyways, all right. Rolando McClain. I just goodbye.
Ozzie,
see you later.
Ozzie Newsome shouldn't have to take that meeting, dude.
I'm sorry.
He should send a minion, shouldn't he? I don't want him to get dirty.
Good news for Green Bay Packer fans.
Is it?
Packer CEO Mark Murphy has made it clear, Jeffrey, and he was talking at a team event on Tuesday, that retired Brett Favre will have his career celebrated at Lambeau Field in the near future.
What? It's the finish there. The buildup.
In the near future.
In the near future.
He said, and I quote, "We want to have Favre back in the family. We're hopeful to have him back in the fold and get him back involved in the organization soon."
Representatives of Caltech and the Jet Propulsion Lab in Pasadena have revealed that cars will fly someday.
Someday. Did you know that? So apparently Favre and Aaron Rodgers, they presented an award together recently at like the ESPYs or something like that.
I did not know that.
Or at the annual of the hosts.
I would say not the ESPYs because we actually know a little bit about that.
The honors. I think maybe it was the honor show that we didn't go during the Super Bowl.
We didn't go just because we were lazy.
They pre-
just saying. We could have been there.
They performed. They gave an award, a Comeback Player of the Year award. They announced
it together.
And so Mark Murphy
said. Who talked first?
I don't know. That's a good point.
Exactly.
But Mark Murphy said this is clearly a sign that, you know, we're ready to move
past the fact that we can have Aaron and Brett stand side by side without someone spitting on the other is a sign that we've made progress.
So you know what I'm most happy about here, Mark Murphy, when he said that he wanted to celebrate him at Lambeau Field? He didn't say celebrate him back at the frozen tundra of Lambeau Field.
Yes.
I'm pretty happy about that.
So that's a dead horse you're happy to go back to. Wow. Pot, kettle, you're black.
Oh, I've never never denied the fact.
You're not big on beating dead horses.
No, I don't.
But you do have a couple.
There's one or two.
No, there's like 10.
The frozen tundra. The frozen there's land. 10 of them? Really? Yes. Give me.
There's a reason.
Beside the frozen
there's
land.
There's a reason I say that.
Is there? What are the others?
No, there's a reason.
Now I'm curious.
You always break into song when I use the word reason.
Oh, I see. Is that what you were trying to get me to say?
You don't let it go. I just
let it go right there, though.
You didn't. The song didn't cross your mind. Otherwise, you would have. You are Pavlov and the dog, and the bell's been rung, and the salivation is commencing. Okay.
I didn't. You noticed I didn't go into song there.
Because it didn't occur to you. I watched your eyes. It didn't occur to you. You were tracking. You were listening so intently to me, which I appreciate, that there wasn't room for your brain to wander.
Right.
And I appreciate that. I think there's an increased discipline in Steven Miranda, and I want to thank you, and I want to say I'm going to do my part to do better.
Okay.
At listening to you and modeling myself.
Well, that's very nice.
Because I think it's important. So we were on the Packers and
Mark Murphy. So what do you
think
about this? Do we want Favre back in Green Bay?
I think they need to get this over with.
Yeah.
I wish it wasn't something you had to get over with. You're asking me as a shareholder, right?
Yes, as a shareholder.
Yes.
Look right behind you. Look what I have on my wall in the Ravens.
Get this the hell away from me.
Hey,
I got a purple Brett Favre jersey.
There you go.
I put it back, but
Brett Favre
come on.
Jersey.
I don't want the anathema behind me.
So I have that jersey. Do I wear that jersey to the ceremony at Lambeau Field when they retire his number and welcome him back to Green Bay?
As a shareholder, I would hope somebody cuts you off in your car on the drive there. What?
Cut me off.
Didn't let me finish my sentence. Okay. You interrupted me.
I get it. You know what? It
needs to be over with, but what we're talking about is the ego that is Brett Favre.
It is.
And it is. I'm sorry. It's bigger than the state of Texas. And that's big.
It is a big state. I think it's a good idea. Get it done.
I wish it wasn't something you had to get done. I wish it could be just a celebration. It's like a Kobe and Shaq reunion where it's an ordeal. It's not a celebration.
Well, it is an ordeal.
It is an ordeal.
I mean, Shaq cussed Kobe out while rapping.
And when he's having his name hung in the rafter, his jersey hung in the rafter at Staples Center, Kobe was getting his ankle taped up.
And his name was spelled incorrectly on the jersey.
Shaq?
O'Neal.
Oh, like I guess it doesn't say Shaq on the back.
No, it doesn't.
O'Neal.
It says O'Neal.
O'Neill.
They spelled it N-E-A-L.
What?
It's up on the rafters. I couldn't believe it myself. Matt took me to a Clippers game.
You're full of crap.
I'm not. I don't think there's been any news. You're going to look it up, aren't you?
Retired jersey.
Fixed.
Has an error. What the Sam Hill?
Why do you think I make stuff up? Just because it's fun to make stuff up and while we're doing this.
Well, that would be pretty provocative.
Lakers flub Shaquille O'Neal's jersey retirement. Print name wrong.
It's so. What? How is it supposed to be spelled?
O'Neal.
Okay, so I had the spelling wrong.
Yes, they spelled it the way you spelled it. And it's O'Neal.
Does nobody have a photo of the wrong one? Because I only see the right one on ESPN LA.
What do you mean?
I want a picture of the wrong one. Somebody had to have taken a picture when they put it up there with it spelled wrong.
I don't know.
Okay. Well, anyways, that's shocking to me. That's on Jerry West and Mitch Kupchak and stuff. What are you guys doing over there running this organization now that Dr. Buss is gone?
I don't know if it was spelled wrong so much as it was put up wrong or the number was wrong.
Shaquille O'Neal's retired number 34 must be replaced after the Lakers admitted his name was mistakenly put on the front of the jersey.
Oh, that's what it was. Okay. It was on the wrong side of the jersey.
What kind of moron does that?
Who puts
the
it
purple
on?
Stripe is down the side, which is clearly the front of the jersey.
Right.
They took the front of a jersey and they put the back on the front.
Yes, that's what it was. That's what
how
it
moronic
was.
Is that?
Dispel his name.
So it's like he's the special one. If I'm Shaq, I want it to stay because I got white letter. I got white numbers. Whichever other number is purple.
It's purple. That's what it was. That's why it looks so wrong up in the rafters.
It stands out.
Right. It's
and if I'm Shaq and if I'm the Big Mamba. I want it to look that way.
You want it to stay white.
I want to be unique and different because I'm Shaquille. Okay.
Oh, yeah. So here's the rafters, and all of them are with the purple with the white shadow, and his is
white with a purple shadow.
Yeah, his is backwards.
I don't like that they put him next to Magic.
Well, where would you put him?
Anywhere except for Magic. Magic's the man. I'd put him next to Jamal Wilkes. That'd be fine. Jerry West, fine. James Worthy, fine. Kareem, fine.
I don't know. I like Kareem.
I love Kareem, too.
Yeah.
And Kareem's still a good guy. So, Steven, we are on Brett Favre.
He's
finally reuniting as a Packer. I wish it didn't have to be an ordeal.
See, I could sing Reunited and it feels so good right now, but I didn't.
Control. I love it.
See. All right, the Buffalo Bills, Jeffrey, 3 days after Buddy Nix stepped away. That was with quotes.
That was air quotes, friends.
Stepped away from the position of general manager. The team announced that Doug Whaley would be their new GM.
Well, that didn't take very long, did it?
It didn't. I think they knew.
Maybe they had done an interview. Maybe.
Maybe. Well, the good thing is that Whaley's the first minority hire. As a GM this offseason.
Okay. Good.
It's, people won't be like, the Rooney Rule needs to be applied to GMs in the front office, too.
Did they look at a white person?
They did.
I just want to be clear that as far as the Rooney Rule is concerned, you don't have to interview a white candidate, okay? Let's be clear, and I'm in favor of that.
Yeah.
Don't be moronic with your rules that are trying to fix problems that are racial, okay? Don't be moronic.
I like.
They didn't look at me because I'm white, and they were only looking at black candidates. It's like, well, they found one that they liked, and he was black, so they hired him. Now they have to look. They have to include minority, not to the exclusion of me. They found someone they liked, and he was a minority. They hired him. Period.
Yeah.
End of discussion. Don't be stupid.
What I like about this hire, I like this hire, and I don't like this hire.
All right.
I like this hire. Obviously, I do like that there's a young crop of minority executives that are climbing up the ranks in the NFL.
Yep.
And we're going to start seeing
that are not all white men.
That's right. And we're going to start seeing a whole bunch of them crop up soon. That's a good thing. What I don't like is that he's come after the draft. So now EJ Manuel.
Yes. Guess what?
He's kind of locked into that now.
Guess what? Your GM did not hire you.
Right.
And for guys that get drafted and then a new GM is brought in, that is usually a sign that unless you have extraordinary success, you will be gone.
You will not stay long.
Because short of extraordinary success, that is your new benchmark.
Yeah, and
it used to be if it was the old GM that hires you, you just had to be good.
Right.
Now you have to be great. That's not fair.
Right. Well, it may not be fair to EJ Manuel, but I don't think it's fair to Doug Whaley. Because you're coming into a position.
Seriously.
Where, you know what?
I
didn't make that move.
Can we quote Bill Parcells here?
Sure.
They asked me to cook a meal,
and
they're not letting me do the shopping for it.
At least let me do the shopping. And that's great, but the thing with this hire is that it's nobody's going to remember, I think, because it's so close to the heels of this draft. No one's going to remember that Doug wasn't the guy that pulled the trigger on EJ Manuel.
No, you guys are already tied at the hip, whether
right.
you like it or not.
Exactly. So
you're not crazy about the timing.
And Doug's not going to be able to like say later on, "Oh, remember, I didn't draft EJ Manuel," because he's not going to be one that kind of a guy.
Well, we don't know.
And hopefully the media will remember that he wasn't the guy that pulled the trigger on EJ Manuel.
Pretty sure the Buffalo Press, they don't forget things.
All right. So That's it. The timing was a little suspect, but you know, if Buddy said it's time to go, and they got to replace him, and I'm glad that they chose Doug Whaley to come in and fill the hole.
And Good stuff going on in Buffalo. I saw a commercial from Albany that was showing Buffalo as a great place to start a business now.
Really?
The state of New York apparently is becoming the new business-friendly place. They're trying to replace Texas as the business-friendly. There's something that Texas has on y'all in New York. One is cheaper gas, and number two is it doesn't snow all the time.
Yes. State income tax.
And no state income tax. But you don't have the tornadoes.
Yeah, that
sucked.
I do have some friends who, fortunately, they're all okay.
Gee whiz. But I hate natural disasters, Stephen, where you have to wonder about your friends.
Yesterday?
There was one spawned off six.
Yeah, there was like I think I heard as many as eight.
200-mile-per-hour winds.
There were eight tornadoes, literally like a party of tornadoes. They decided like within
they're
miles
party
of each other. Let's just have a party. Right here. Tornado, 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 tornado.
There's plenty
tornado.
Of stuff to screw with.
Yeah. So.
Horrible. I can't imagine. Saw a Facebook post from a friend in North Texas. Just said, battening down the hatches. On the general manager, on the front office side of things in the NFL, we have the Oakland Raiders. Amy Trask, a woman that we know, and I would say that we admired her.
Yep. You know what? I respect her, too.
Amy was one of the last legacy pieces to Mr. Al Davis's tenure as the owner of the Oakland Raiders, the majority owner of the Oakland Raiders and their team president. And Amy was the CEO of the Oakland Raiders until a couple days ago. Yesterday was her last day in that capacity with the Raiders, and they are now in search of a new CEO to take the helm of the organization.
Yeah, Amy informed Mark Davis of her decision to leave the Raiders.
Mark Davis, not Al.
Mark Davis, did I say Al?
No, I was just clarifying for people who might. Al's Al. No,
Mark
she didn't
Davis.
Talk to the.
Mark Davis. And, you know, Mark took over after his father, Al, passed away. He hired Reggie McKenzie to be the GM of the team, run the football operations side. But as CEO, which she's been since 1997, I believe.
Long time. I was going to say 13 years.
25 years.
Okay. She hasn't been CEO for 25 years.
She's been with the team.
With the organization for 25 years, but 13 as the CEO.
Yeah, 97 as 16.
Okay, 16 years as a CEO. It just seems like yesterday a little girl's growing up just before our eyes.
Well, the thing is that she is the highest ranking woman in American professional sports.
It's an amazing accomplishment for
and
someone
stepping
like her.
Down there. That's going to end her tenure, and that's going to end the you know women at the high position.
Again, it goes back to the good part of Mr. Davis, which was his legacy of hiring people outside the box.
Yeah,
and you know he was Tom Flores, the first Latino head coach.
Art Shell.
I mean, it's crazy. He was always on the forefront, which is why when the Raiders went and made a move and didn't follow the Rooney Rule, I'm like, look, the Rooney Rule doesn't have to apply to everybody. Right. Okay, when your legacy is that I've always been the first to do X, Y, or Z, and I want to hire a John Madden, just leave me alone and let me do my thing. The Rooney Rule has its place. There's organizations that could do well to stick closer to the intent of the Rooney Rule.
I would say Pittsburgh Steelers.
I wasn't going to say it out loud, but sure.
Pittsburgh Steelers fall into the category of they're always.
It's the old Boston Celtics. They had Red Auerbach there on the sideline. They're like, see, we're good.
Yeah.
Not really. Yeah. You guys have got a criminal past when it comes to that department, and you need to fix it. The Raiders, though, with Amy there in that role, she was a very distinguished and classy leader of the team, and it's going to be too bad to have the last piece of Mr. Davis's legacy now gone. And it's really going to be in the hands of Reggie McKenzie to take this organization wherever, and Mark Davis to take this to a new place.
Now, it's Mark's team now, and Mark is – look, he's
– clearly not his father.
He's got to decide, first of all, I think, is this something that I want to continue doing, that I want our family to continue doing? Do I want the Davis family to continue owning and operating the Raiders? I still think he's on the fence. I don't think he's come out publicly and said that.
So you don't think he's 100% in?
Just his actions. Yeah, I'm not sure he's look, it happened all of a sudden. He didn't – it's not like he was, like, there all the time ready to
– No, but they did have a succession plan in place when Mr. Davis got sick. They've had a succession plan in place for a couple of years before Mr. Davis got sick. They had talked about the day when he wasn't going to be there anymore.
But to me, when it happened, I'm not sure Mark relished the opportunity of taking over. So I think first and foremost.
The thing about inheritance is you can't give it back. Not saying he would give it back.
So I think first and foremost, he's got to decide that he wants to keep the team. And then he's going to figure out, am I going to run it like my father ran it?
I hope not.
Or am I going to run it the way it should be run?
Well, that would be to be more hands-off and to bring in more professional people.
That
and I
correct.
Think letting Amy go was a sign. I'm not saying he let her go. She resigned. But I think that the writing is on the wall, that it was mutually agreed upon that the organization was moving in a very different direction than the one that she had been on with Al.
And buddy of the show, Jason LaConfora, he was pretty clear in his writing of her leaving that – her and Mark Davis were not on the same
page. They didn't see eye to eye. And it's hard to see eye to eye. Stevie, you're describing a man who's not seen eye to eye with himself.
Right.
So for Amy to be on board with him, which if he's a moving target, that's awful hard to get on board.
Right.
So I think that Amy, I hope she catches on with another team. But again, given the, I would say, generational gap, Amy's not an older woman at all. But given the generational gap with the tenure that Amy served under Mr. Davis, there's not many teams aside from the Dallas Cowboys that are run like that. And I don't know that there is going to be a role for her going forward.
Right. Well,
maybe
now,
in an advising capacity.
Certainly not with the Raiders, and I think that's why she stepped down.
But I don't know where there will be. That's my concern, is that I'm not sure that she's going to find – she could do the speaking circuit and do just fine financially, but she was a woman who truly loved the Raiders, was dedicated to the Raiders.
Yeah, absolutely. It's certainly interesting. I don't even know when or where the next woman is going to appear.
I would agree with that completely. I don't see her. She may be there, and because again, it's not like Steve and I know everybody at all, but I don't see her. I think we're going to have a woman official before we have another woman executive. And that being said, let's move on to our final item here, Steven.
The Philadelphia Eagles.
Philadelphia Eagles.
First of all, I want to talk about Chip Kelly, who apparently, did you know that during Andy Reid's tenure in Philadelphia, he had Taco Tuesdays and Fast Food Fridays?
Chip or?
Andy Reid.
Andy Reid.
So Chip has come in.
It doesn't surprise me that Andy Reid ate a good deal. Is that a fair statement? That's not in any way mean. It's just true.
It's a true statement. But the fact that these days were kind of days where he let the players kind of, you know, Taco Tuesdays. You know, we had Taco Tuesdays where
two weeks ago, tacos
for a dollar. And, you know, you get.
Can we go today? I know it's Thursday, but can we go today?
It's not Taco Tuesday. No, I got to pick up the girls. They got early.
I know. My daughter's early, too. She's got her AP exam. Should be done. Ooh. If she's not done here shortly, I'm going to die.
She's going to shock everybody and get a 5.
She will not get a 5. If she gets a 4, that will be a 5. That'll be her 5, okay?
If she gets a 4, that'll be her 5.
I'm
pulling for her.
The drama. The problem with, and kids, listen up here, okay?
Yes.
Why, if you're going to have to, school is a game. Right, kids? We all understand that. School's a game. You have to play the game, and you don't play to win the game. You play to survive the game. You play to keep your parents off your back. You play to hopefully get into a decent school, et cetera, et cetera. But why not, if you're playing this game, why not pay attention? I know that there's a lot going on in a student's life where they don't want to necessarily focus on academics. But if you're going to do the work to get into the right school and to take the AP classes and things like that, why not pay attention so that you don't have to learn it again? And here's the second thing. You might become a little wiser. Knowledge and wisdom do not equate, but they can. And what's frustrating to me about my daughter is that she has little interest, I will go so far as to say no interest, in learning. She has interest in passing and doing well.
Right.
And why not make yourself a better human and learn? Yes. Go that you're already there. You're doing all this hard work and busting your tail, and she's doing seven. She acknowledges 7 out of 10 in effort to do really well, which should be enough to retain a lot of this information.
Yes.
And not have it be gone by Thursday.
Yes.
Next week, a week from today, a week after this exam, she will probably remember nothing. This class made her a better writer, which is great, and that's an invaluable gift that you don't lose.
Yes.
But she is. I asked her when the French Revolution was, and she was excited because she knew the answer. Because there was a little mnemonic that she had come up with to remember it. And I asked her when the American Revolution was, and she says, we're not going to be asked that. Kids, if you're gonna go 3/4 of the way,
right.
go 4/5.
Is that
fair?
That's pretty classic, though.
I'm not going to be tested on that. Honey, do you acknowledge, honey, that there was a period in world history that revolutions were quite the thing?
Yeah.
The Arab Spring didn't start with the Arabs. It kind of started in Europe, actually. There was a little thing where everybody seemed to be wanting to have a little revolution. You hadn't noticed that all those dates kind of cluster together nicely? So it's not a new thing. Wow.
When was the French Revolution?
It depends.
The American was 1776
through
1783.
There you go. Yeah. Close enough. I mean, again, it's my thing about
the French Revolution.
The 1776 was the American Revolution.
Okay.
1780-something, 83, was the French Revolution.
After the American Revolution ended.
We needed the French help to have our revolution. We needed them to be powerful.
And the French had to go back and have their own revolution.
Well, they had massive debt from helping us.
Right.
They had massive debt. And remember, they weren't helping us. They were trying to hurt Britain. Let's just be clear. It's not that they were so pro-USA.
The French Revolution, that's when Les Mis started in Jean Valjean.
It was all part of a period of about 12 years that was the French Revolution.
So basically, there
was many revolutions.
Late 1700s sucked. You
didn't
want to live during that
Well,
time.
You if you're part of the bourgeoisie, it was an okay time. If you were royalty, it kind of you're running for your life.
Right.
You're frequently taking up residence in another country to stay alive. So there you go. Now you learn, but you know what? You're not going to forget that. That's my point.
All right.
The Philadelphia Eagles.
Go back to Andy Reid it's Taco.
And Taco Tuesday. That's how we got here.
So Taco Tuesday and Tuesday and Fast Food Friday is what Andy Reid.
Fast Food Friday.
So what Chip Kelly did.
And Chip's not a slight man.
No, but he's come in and he's basically done away with that. Said. This nonsense. So much to the point where he has, there's four in their dining hall.
Gluten-free Tuesday.
Gluten-free. But no, what I'm looking at is like, there's like these, like for this, for example, this one station. This is the muscle growth and repair station. So the food served at that station.
If you're trying to get bigger.
The performance plate, and that's where it has lean protein.
Nice.
Then there's another station where, you know, there's – you go and –
carb load station.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like – it's all healthy. They got a what's those Jamba Juices? Smoothies.
Yeah.
Smoothie station that they will tailor, custom make it to you like your smoothie has your name on it. That is just for you.
So there will be no deep-fried Crisco station?
No, they don't have one
deep
of those.
Deep-fried sticks
they
of butter?
One of those. So I'm just like, all right, so – Is Andy Reid? I mean, is Chip Kelly gonna? Is he gonna subscribe to his own eating habits? That
yeah,
he
as I said,
players?
He's not a slight man.
No,
but
no.
You know what? He's a coach, Stephen. Here's what I think about Chip Kelly.
Yeah.
What I have learned about Chip Kelly.
Chip
Kelly, is this: the guy expects the world of his players.
Right.
When they give him the world, he respects them. What he does with his own life. Has little to do. If his job required him to be that elite,
right.
then he would do that. He does whatever he needs to do his job best. And Chip Kelly is bringing a whole new wave of coaching to the NFL, which is faster practices, figuring out how to get enough done with the new terms of the CBA practicing with OTAs and the limited amount of time that coaches have. He's getting stuff done that people didn't think was possible. This is the new NFL. Chip Kelly's ushered it in, and people get out of the way. Get on board or get out of the way, well, because you will lose.
The way he's running his OTAs.
This is my point.
Everybody.
We're talking not two times, maybe three times as many reps.
The speed
yes.
at which I think Garofalo, whoever covers the Eagles, he said literally they did probably three times as many
yes.
plays
that's my point.
As the Eagles used to run under Andy Reid.
And what Andy Reid ran was normal.
Right.
Okay, it's not that Andy was lazy. Yeah, we're not saying that at all. But Chip Kelly – coming out of the collegiate ranks where you have limited time with your athletes because of NCAA rules, well, guess what? You now have that culture in the NFL because of the new collective bargaining.
I like Taco Tuesdays, so it would be very difficult for me to play for Chip.
And tacos don't have to be bad for you.
That's true.
I'm encouraging people, go get your fish tacos. Don't let them be fried. And get a corn tortilla and load it up with your mahi-mahi and make it a great Taco Tuesday.
One more news before item for the Eagles before we get out of here.
Yeah,
is that Donovan McNabb has come out and said that
he's gay.
He is, no,
say he came out. I'm sorry. I
has come out and said you didn't let me finish.
Oh.
That he is planning to retire a Philadelphia Eagle, and he said I will retire as an Eagle, and I look forward to the opportunity and that day. That day just so happens to be the day the Kansas City Chiefs and Andy Reid come to town next season.
So they're scheduled this season?
They are.
Okay, that is very, very cool, and I couldn't be happier that they're going to do that. And it looks like Philadelphia, and there you go, at Philadelphia, week three, Thursday night football, yay.
Chiefs at Philadelphia.
Chiefs at Eagles. 525 NFL Network, September 19th. Set your DVRs. You won't want to miss that one. Yeah. As he comes, and I guarantee you, Andy Reid comes over and gives him a big old hug.
Here's the interesting thing.
Yeah.
This was Donovan McNabb's statement. The Philadelphia Eagles have yet to put out a statement regarding that.
Well, and that seems like typical Donovan, doesn't it?
I'm going to retire from the Philadelphia Eagle. I'm going to do week three, and there you go.
And here's what the party's going to look like. There's going to be a handbell choir, and they're going to be at the 30-yard line.
And as of yet, the Philadelphia Eagles.
And Aretha Franklin's going to sing.
The Philadelphia Eagles, according to the Philadelphia Daily News, have not made an official statement and made any indication.
Well, it's time to get in scramble mode, friends, because if Donovan wants to do it, then that's the way it's going to be.
There you go. There you go.
At least the man is consistent with who he is.
Yes, there you go.
Donovan McNabb.
That's all the time. It was a fun show today. We talked about a lot of different things.
Hope you all had fun listening and enjoyed the tangents and digressions as well
especially
as
Jeff,
NFL
you know,
content.
Finally admitting to the world that
Steve
he
Miranda
does
finally
not
discovering
know how to let it go.
Steve Miranda finally discovering that I don't let things go.
And Jeffrey just beats a dead horse.
Love beating a dead horse.
To the ground.
Unless I'm in school. If you're beating a dead horse and I'm in class, you better get out of my way.
You've been listening to Steve Miranda.
Jeff Ellis.
For NFL Rants and Raves, presented by Draft Day. If you have not done so, free cash to
don't
all of our
dumb.
Listeners. Use the promo code RANTS. Head to DraftDay.com. Jeffrey, we're out.
Peace.